Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. And Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on Palestine, discussing the Yahud in the light of what Allahu Azza wa Jalla has to say about them in the Holy Quran. Now, inshallah, we would be linking with Brother Ibrahim Yusuf Salaji for the program Buildergy. And in this program, we discuss DIY, do it yourself. We discuss the tools, we discuss products, and of course, how to build certain things. And with that, at times we have some talk about fishing, some talk about gardening, and also food, preparation of food and different kinds of food, etc. Now, we will, inshallah, connect with Brother Yusuf, Brother Ibrahim Salaji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ibrahim.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah. How are you doing this morning?
Shukran, alhamdulillah. I'm very grateful this morning. You know, food in my stomach, at work, you know, I have a job, I have a roof over my head. I'm very, very lucky. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me quite a bit. So, very grateful this morning.
You must be open very early, because most shops open at 8. And you already in your shop?
You know, the hardware business, you know, people are there early, and they need to fix things early so they can go out and enjoy the rest of the day. So they want to get the stuff done as soon as possible, so we have to offer a service for them.
Okay. Now, there's a product on the market which is called, I know we did, you know, rubber paint before. We did also these paints with fragrance. There's another product which is called liquid rubber. Can you tell us what is liquid rubber and what is its uses?
So the liquid rubber, we've done some extremely wild testing at the moment. So I've been challenged on the market at the moment. You know, a lot of people have put down the companies that I'm working with. These guys are so good from Apple Paints. You know, young boy Zai trying to make his name out in the world. So he's developed a product that is affordable and it really works. So once we've done the basic training of obviously waterproofing the roof, you know, your decking, your paving, we decided, let's see what this product can actually do. Let's see the strength of it. So we've done a box test. We've taken the most porous surface of them all, which is cardboard. And we've taken the liquid rubber and we've painted it inside the box. And we've made it into like a little pond as well. So to show a waterproofing test, we've shown that, you know what, even a cardboard box will make it waterproof. Then the people said, how much does it stretch? We stretched it out, a small piece right up to 60 centimeters. It was mind-blowing. Then eventually, my biggest stunt yet, actually was part of a series of stunts wherein we took the liquid rubber to measure the strength of it. We folded up a few pieces together and we've towed a car using it as a buffer, which was insane. It has never been done on the market. And alhamdulillah, these guys have supported me. And then obviously I pushed it a little bit further and I pulled the vehicle itself using that. And that product has not broken. So those who've challenged us in the past have now been silenced to a point where they said, you know what, if that product is strong enough to tow a car with and not break, you know, really how good and what is the possibility it will do on your waterproofing solutions?
Right. Now, what are some of the We know the conventional uses, most people will be using it probably for waterproofing of their roofs or their flooring, etc. It can also be used for walls, I suppose. As I said, that I know of people whose homes that are built with blocks, and probably, the job was very mediocre. People just did a hit and run job. Now when it rains, and the rain, whichever direction the rain is hitting, that wall they would find is damp, and it's beginning to make the rooms smell dampy and also damaging the furniture. So would this liquid rubber assist such people, with waterproofing their walls also?
So 100%, this product, what's the beauty part of it? Because of the viscosity of it, how thick it is, it actually acts as a gap fill as well. So you'll see that, there's a crack that's formed and water's coming through the crack. Or somebody has drilled through it. You put solar panels on your roof. It's a common thing. Everybody's putting solar panels. Now, for them to attach the solar panels to your roof, they actually drill through your roof tile. And when they drill through your roof tile, water comes in from those holes itself. So this one here actually does that itself. So we've done a test where we poured the liquid rubber into the cap of a 5-liter, paint tin. And from there, it actually filled in to take out the fine ridges. It took the shape of every single item. So whether you have an asbestos roof, whether you have roof tiles, whether you have IBR sheet metal, you apply it correctly using the correct surface application. And that's why we offer the service as well, where you can come and you can see the actual products. We have it on demo. We're hiding nothing. So what happens is most companies, when they give you a sample, they give you a 1-liter sample. Now, you don't know if that product is actually the same as in a 20-liter. So with our products, we have actually taken a 20-liter off the drum, off the floor, which anybody can purchase. And we've done our testing with that product. And the butter in that 20-liter, we were just talking about it yesterday, wherein the guys are using and using and using, and the 20-liter is not finishing. But the nice part is we stand by our products, which you can come in with your problem, have a look at what we have to offer, see whether it was put to application, and the best part is the price. Today things are tight with pricing, and these guys have made a product that is affordable and really, really, really works quite well. It's something that I support and I fully back.
Okay. Now, when people drill holes to probably even put the number plate of your car, we use a rubber washer. This washer, you put it onto the hole so much so that it's covering the inside and the outside of the hole. And the reason we do that, so that area around the hole won't rust. Can we use this liquid rubber, when we drill holes for things like our car number plate, instead of getting those washers?
100% you can use this. This product is so versatile. And then today, when we go to the store today, we're going to do a video for the listeners of Manga Sahaba, dedicated to the listeners of Manga Sahaba, indicating this use. So we were going to be drilling a hole on a piece of metal, and one day we're going to test it out to show you guys. We know it works, but we want you guys to know that, if it will also work on motor vehicles, if you need to seal up a hole on any item. Just see what happens is, for rust to form, we need to be a material that rust can settle on, such as metal. They need to be oxygen, and they need to be water. Now, this product shuts off the oxygen, shuts off the water, and seals off the material. So, essentially, it would not allow any rust to form on it. It will also act as, an anti-vibration wrapper, because this product, one of its uses is also for soundproofing and anti-vibration. So, it will actually work extremely well in this particular application.
Now, besides protecting metal from rust, can it also protect wood from rotting?
I have I have used liquid rubber on wood before. It works absolutely fantastic. So what it does, it forms a layer around the wood. So nothing penetrates past that layer, essentially sealing the wood off completely. So yeah, 100% it will be used on wood. We tested it by mistake once. You know, we put it, we dipped a piece of wood into the paint to stir it, and the guys didn't clean it up after that. And I said, yo, this is wonderful. And I've done more testing and more testing. And the more I test the product on wood, the more happy I am. Because I've seen now people sealing off their windy houses. Because you know, with windy houses or any of these structures, you get that wood that's in between the wood, and wind blows through it. It can become quite irritating. Water can come through. So this will act as a gap filler on it as well. And the beauty part of the liquid rubber is you can use it with the membrane system. So if the gap is a little bit larger and the paint is falling through, then you can use a small piece of membrane and seal it up quite nicely.
Okay. Now, the another thing that's very important in a home, you know, nobody can really do without this, except those who may be being deprived by the government or they're too poor to have it, and that is lighting. The lighting in our houses is not only for, you know, decor. It plays a significant role in affecting everything from our sleep patterns, because we know that most people, you know, they can only sleep in darkness. You know, even with me personally, if I have to go and sleep during the day, I need a face mask. My eye can't be exposed to the light because I won't get sleep. So it's understandable that one would want one's home to be nicely lit, where one spend most of one's time. But when it comes to selecting lighting, there are a myriad of options. All different types of lighting serve their specific purposes. So you need to choose the right type for your home to perfectly optimize lighting for your home. It's best to consider the purpose of each room. There are many options for lighting available in the market that one can choose from. Some of these types are only specialized for a specific purpose, like downlights. However, one can use most of these lights in many different ways. Now, the first thing that is important to know, to have some knowledge of, is watts and lumens. So, Brother Ibrahim, can you tell us about watts and lumens?
100%. So, coming from me, Shukran Alhamdulillah, I'm a certified light consultant, so I can speak on this particular topic very well. Now, there is a huge difference. Normally, when a guy comes to the store, they'll say, give me your highest watts. So I ask him, you know, why are you looking for your highest watts in this? So he says, the more watts means more brightness. Now, that is the incorrect thing to ask for. It's a common misconception that if you're going to have a 15-watt globe as opposed to a 10-watt globe, your 15-watt is going to be brighter. Now, what is the definition of watts? What is the amount of input tool that is required to power a particular globe? Lumens is the output, so we're supposed to be looking at output of light. So when choosing a light, don't look at your wattage, because that shows you how much of electricity you're using. Now, if you want a brighter light, maybe for outside or for a kitchen area, then you're going to look on the packaging of the globe for lumens. So the higher the lumen, the more brightness the light offers. Now, also when choosing lumens, you get different ratings of it. So you get the warm white, most people know it as the yellow light, the warm white. Then you get also a cool white, which is what we refer to as a 5000 Kelvin. So on the box, it will say either 3000 Kelvin for warm white, 5000, and your most brightest one, which is daylight, 6500 K. So you're looking at the K word on the box itself. Now, when that number is 6500, it will obviously indicate that the light is the brightest light that you do have. Now, also quickly to diverse on the same particular topic, is you need to look at the IP rating when choosing these items. IP means ingress protection, An IP20 would refer to something that's been used inside the house, and IP65 for outside your house.
Okay. So, what is it that takes more electricity, watts or lumens?
So, lumens doesn't use any electricity. Your watts is what's used by the globe. Lumens is what comes out of the globe. So, lumen just refers to a measure of light. So you see, in lighting, you get LED lighting, you get energy-saving lighting, you get the old-school halogen lighting. Now, LED would pull the least amount of electricity if you're looking to save power. You know, energy-saving would pull almost double of what LED pulls, and halogen, extremely high. So the old-school, we get 100-watt globes, and nowadays we're getting, like, you know, 3-watt, 5-watt, 12-watt, and energy-saving globes, you're looking at 15-watt. So the higher the wattage, the more electricity that particular globe uses.
But now, if I take a lower watt, say a 5-watt, that doesn't mean that the globe is going to be dimmer.
It's actually going to be brighter, because the lumen output on a 5-watt LED globe is higher than the lumen output on a 15-watt energy-saving globe. So this is the point that I try and get across to most customers. So people say, you know, give me a 15-watt energy-saving globe. So I say, is your purpose for higher brightness? Look at the lumen output of a 15-watt globe energy-saving, and look at the lumen output of a 5-watt or 3-watt. Even a 3-watt would be brighter, because technology has developed so fast that something so small like an LED, which is referred to as a light emitting diode, can produce much more brightness with using lesser power.
Now, you know, we have different kinds of light, the neon light, then we have those globes, we have those down lights. Now, if you want an all-purpose light in your room, you know, I don't want my corner where I study to have down lights there, and then in the middle of the ceiling another light. What would you choose for all purpose? Like, what I experienced is that the brightest light is neon lights. What is your opinion as a person that, you know, has the expertise in this field?
So, my first step always is to go for the downlighter option. Now, the reason why I choose the downlighter option is not many people know this, or many people know this here, is you can separate the amount of light in your room with different switches. So you can have maybe one half of your room on a single switch and a second half of your room on a separate switch. Now, if you want all of the lights on at the same time, just on both switches. But if you want, you know, just half of your room on for ambient, then you can have half of the light switched on. Now, neon lighting is the first fluorescent type, which is old school. Now, with fluorescent and neon, you still use a balanced system where it's a step-down transformer, but it is extremely high wattage being used on that. Yes, of course, it gives you a nice light, but LED is your answer. Now, you get different sorts of LED lights. You can get your ceiling lights, which is recessed. And lighting also comes into two parts, where you have an integrated light fitting, which means it doesn't require a globe. It comes in with a built-in panel, or you can get one that uses either a screw-in bulb, a bayonet bulb, or even those small candle globes.
Now, I just discovered during the week that you also experiment a lot of with food. Now, currently, you know, you go to all the traffic lights in this area. I live in the Sydenham area, but it's right next to Overport, and there's a lot of traffic lights in our area. You see people selling green mangoes. They're even coming to our doors. We don't know whether they're coming with stolen mangoes, and trying to sell green mangoes. And I hear one of the things you're very good at is making green mango achar. So can you give us some tips on that?
So I've been blessed my whole life to have mango cheese in my house, in my yard itself. And it's a tradition, you know, when the mangoes come, is for us to experiment with mangoes and mango pickle, mango achar. And so to harvest the mangoes yourself and then to produce or make something from it is a really a fun experience for me because it brings back a lot of childhood memories. My granny used to make it and take it to the beach with us with fresh bread. And now I'm becoming a representative of the Decker Killer tools, which is a cordless range of tools, which is quite fun actually because you're not limited to a time or a place, electricity or not. It just uses a battery system. So what I've done is I peel the mangoes and I've got a little food processor which runs off a battery. The same battery can be actually used in your drill. So it's a his and hers sort of combo. When you want to drill something, use the battery. You want to make something, use the battery. And once the mango was peeled, I then put it into the food processor. I've made two parts of it. I've made a fine one, and I've also made it a grated version of it. Then you make your tempering, which requires a bit of ghee, salt, mustard seed, garlic, curry leaf, which you've harvested from your garden, and some chili as well. And then you put it together. It makes a wonderful paste that you can use with your foods itself.
Right. Now, I don't know about seasons for fishing, but more people are along the beach fishing in summer than in winter. And also, I've also noticed a lot of people like going fishing at night instead of during the day. Is fishing at night more productive than during the day?
Usually, according to my experience, that is correct. The smaller fish usually hang around quite a bit during the day. But at night, when it becomes cooler, it becomes quieter, we find that the bigger fish come closer to the shore. So us as shore fishermen are getting a better chance of catching a fish. My best results are always at night. If you were to ask a personal opinion, I would feel that fishing at night is a lot better than fishing during the day.
And when you talk about fishing at night, are you talking about deep sea fishing or you're talking about shoreline fishing?
So I have a preference with shoreline fishing. Deep sea fishing, I have motion sickness. So I get sick quite a bit. I enjoy it quite a bit, but I get very sick. My stomach becomes queasy and the experience is not that much enjoyed. Sitting on the beach sand itself reminds me of being a kid again. You know, you create a bonfire to keep warm. You can make s'mores on the fire. You can have your rods, in the sand. You don't have to hold it in your hand all the time. And you can just make it quite a bit more enjoyable. So for me, a preference would be fishing from the shore.
Right. But are you more, let's say, assured of a catch or guaranteed of a catch from the shoreline or from deep sea?
Deep sea would give you a better option. But also remember something. When fishing from deep sea, if you're tired and you are on a charter or something, you can't just go home. You know, from the shore itself, you can pack your stuff and go home. From deep sea, if the fish is not biting in one spot, you can move to a different spot. You know, you get different points or markers that you know that have been tried and tested. But deep sea is usually more during the day. At night, you're more from the shoreline itself. So it just depends on the time that you are fishing with and the target species that you are after. That depends where you'd fish. And also, affordability plays a big role in it. Fishing deep sea can be quite expensive. If you're going with a charter, you need to worry about bait and all of that. With the shoreline fishing, even if you had an excess of sardines from the sardine season, on the sardine run, you'd pack it away neatly into little parcels, and you can fish at your convenience and your leisure.
Now, also the rods for deep sea fishing differs from the rods that one would use for shoreline fishing. I suppose the deep sea fishing rods may be more expensive than those used on the shoreline.
So not only price is the difference, it's obviously the structure of the rods itself. Now, fishing with boat fishing, you need something short and stubby and very, very strong. Remember, sometimes you're fishing hundreds of meters underneath it. You're fishing for much bigger fish, much larger fish. The deal size is different. It's a huge difference between the rods itself. our DC, as I said, short, stubby, extra strong. You're pulling out monsters from the deep. I mean, for throwing from the surf, you are looking for something with a bit more length so you can, you know, chuck out your bait a lot further. And, you know what, a little bit more whoopier. I like those ones. It's a little bit more whoopier. It allows, the arch allows you to enjoy the biting of the fish. You know, the head shakes and all of that part, you know, makes it extremely enjoyable. So the whole aesthetic appeal of the rods itself is completely different.
And you get rods that are made of graphite also.
My personal rod is actually made from graphite. Now, it has, you know, benefits as well as, you know, it has advantages and disadvantages. Graphite itself is very lightweight. So your hands are not paining the whole time that you are fishing. Quite strong, quite durable. But fishing in a thunderstorm, is no good because that attracts the lightning and can cause you to get electrocuted by a lightning storm. So graphite, 100%. It's my personal favorite. I always fish with that rod.
Yeah, I did hear of a death. The person was standing in the water and fishing, and you know, lightning struck. And because graphite is a good conductor of electricity, and then water is a conductor of electricity, it was a Muslim guy. He actually passed away. So that's the disadvantage of graphite. We will, inshallah, you know, have to finish at the moment because we've come to the end of our time. Inshallah, next week we can discuss the different kind of baits that are used to catch different fishes. Because although I'm not a fisherman, but now that I'm doing this program, I'm talking to fishermen quite a bit. And I'm also hearing about ghost stories. Is the ghost stories true?
Yeah, I know something. Scary stuff, you.
So, inshallah, maybe next week we can discuss some ghost stories and we can discuss the different baits that one can use for different fish. And jazakumullah, khair al jaza, you know, for the very valuable information that you share with us every Saturday morning at a time when no one really wants to be on radio. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you both in this world and in the Akhirah for the efforts that you make to serve the listeners out there. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
That was Brother Ibrahim Salaji discussing DIY and fishing with us for this week. And we also did something about food this week, the famous mango achar, because it is mango season in Durban. The mangoes are still green. By December, they get ripe. But because it's the season, we find people at all the traffic lights Sunny trying to sell mangoes to the motorists for the purpose of pickle, because green mangoes people only buy for pickle.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.